Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kiddushin Samach Gimel. Thank the Lucas Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on as Zechon Nishmat Libe Gavriel Bashmuel. Let us continue from yesterday on Samach Beis Amud Beis. We're at the top of the Amud. And we have learned Klal Gadol, we learned a basic rule when it comes to the topic of Davar Shelo Bala Olam. Yesterday's daf had two major sugyas in it. The first sugya, which we concluded with at the end of yesterday's daf, dealt with the Nechlahena Tashamei Alav, the question of whether or not a person makes a deduction from a positive statement to the negative statement, or otherwise known in the in Shas as Tanai Kafel. The Tanai Kafel sugya, which started on Samach Aleph and continued to Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah on yesterday's daf introduced us to the topic of a Davar Shelo Bala Olam. So basically, I want to make a reservation. Some of the reservations that I'm making in the Mishnah are strange. The Mishnah discussed the number of scenarios in which a person goes over and says, I want to be Mekadosh you at a future point, even though right now I currently cannot be Mekadosh you. And the Mishnah goes over scenarios in which, let's say a person's not Jewish yet, he says, I'm going to marry you after I become Jewish, or let's say she's not Jewish yet, okay, fine, so I'm going to give the Kesef Kedusha now, and then it'll take effect after you become Jewish, or let's say it's an Eved Kenani or Shivcha Kenanis, so I'm going to marry you when you or I become free, and I'll give the Kesef Kedusha now. So in all these cases, or let's say go over to a married woman and said, look, this is a strange reservation, but right now I know you're currently married, but I'll give the Kesef Kedusha now, and then in the event when you become available, so then this will be the Kesef Kedushin. So, or let's say this is just as strange, I go over to your wife's sister and says, look, here's the Kesef Kedushin now. Right now, obviously, I can't marry you, but in the event that my wife dies, so then good. So then the Kesef Kedushin should work out. So in all, and also Yavama as well, the Mishnah goes over a number of cases where you can't do it now, and but you're doing it for the future, so it doesn't work. It's a Davar Shelo Bala Olam, it simply does not work. That is what we learned together in the Mishnah. Rav Yochanan taught us on the bottom of Samach Beis Amud Aleph a Klal Gadol, and that is that in order for the Kedushin to be for a Kinyan to work, let me speak in generalities, for a Kinyan to work, so as long as it's Biyado, so then it can be effective now. Meaning, obviously, it won't take effect now, but you can put in the order now for a later point in time, as long as it's biyado. So, for example, and Rav Yochanan bases this by a Mishnah Trumas. The Mishnah Trumas says that the halacha is that in order to properly take off truma from one portion of your produce onto another portion of the produce, they both have to be detached from the ground. If they're attached to the ground, they're not yet chayiv in trumas and maisos. So what you cannot currently do is take produce which is detached from the ground and use it and apply it as truma to produce which is attached to the ground. That you cannot do. But Rav Yochanan says, but here's what you can do. What you can do is that you can put in the order now. You could say that this is going to be truma for that which is connected to the ground when it becomes disconnected. So in other words, you're putting in your order now, and then when it actually becomes disconnected, it's going to work. Why? Isn't it Mechusa Meiser? Isn't it Davar Shelo Bala Olam? Answer, it's Biyado. Since it's within your ability to do so, so therefore it's going to work. Okay. The Gemara was bothered by our Mishnah because one of the cases in the Mishnah is Gerushin. Gerus. That's what I meant. Okay, one of the cases in the Mishnah was Gerus, and what did our Mishnah say? I'm going to be Mekadosh you after I'm a Geyer. And the Mishnah says that doesn't work. Now, according to Rav Yochanan's rule, it should work. Because as long as it's Biyado, so it should work. A person can become a Geyer. In other words, it's within his control, right? The Gemara says not necessarily. Because you need a Beis Din. And so, if you need to put together a Beis Din, so it's not, everything's not perfectly in your control. So that's how the Gemara addresses that issue. The Gemara says, well, what about the following? Let's say a man goes over to his Shivcha Kenanis, and he says that I'm going to be Mekadosh you after I release you, after I free you. So that's perfectly biyado. You don't need a Beis Din to free his Shivcha Kenanis, so shouldn't that work? And to that, the Gemara says, well, that's a major status change. So you go from a Shivcha Kenanis over to a... To become a free woman. And the Gemara, the way the Gemara describes it is that Mikara Behema Hashtadas Acheres. She's a totally new entity. And yesterday we ended off with Rashi, and Rashi says she's a totally new entity. Rashi writes, Hilkach E Mechusa Maisa Gadol Mizeh. This is a huge Mechusa Maisa. Now, I mentioned yesterday, it bothered me a little bit yesterday because it's still biyado, it's still within his control, so it's a major change, but still it's biyado. So basically, and I saw the Marsha yesterday, I actually wrote a note for myself, look at the Marsha. So I saw the Marsha yesterday, and basically what the Marsha says is that you have to say now that there are two things involved in terms of an ability to concretize something now, based on a future event. Number one, it has to be biyado. Number two, it has to be not a maisa gadol. It has to be like the plucking of produce off of the ground. Something small. But if we're talking about making a major change, like becoming a shivcha kananis to becoming a bas chorin, so that's something which is too major, and therefore it's even Rav Yochanan would not consider that to be biyado.
Yeah. That's why they call it.
Yeah. Right. Okay, now, the Ella Hadama Ravoshia, so let's pick it up. Now, in the Gemara, we're on Samach Beis Amud Beis. We're about seven lines from the top of the Amud, and the Ella Hadama Ravoshia, Anosim Prutu Lishtov Amar Le Hare Mekadesh Aslil Acha Shegarshech. There are all kinds of people in this world. Okay, this person over here, I'm not going to speak to his stability, but he goes over to his wife and he says, look, I'm going to give you the Kesef Kedushin now, because even though we're currently married now, so it's kind of strange I'm giving you Kesef Kedushin, but I'll give it to you now, because in the event that I divorce you, so at least you'll know that you'll have the Kesef Kedushin, so I'll pick you up on the rebound. Of course, my own rebound, but... Okay, neither here nor there. So, Eina Mekudeshah. So, again, we're just dealing with whether or not the Kedushin is effective or not. So, the Kedushin, says Rav Oshia, is not effective. Now, Hachanam L'Rav Yochanan Da'avi Kedushin. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, isn't it biyado? So, the Gemara says, no, it's not. Nehid biyado l'garsha, biyado l'kacha. So, the Gemara says, Gerushin, that's biyado. Right? A man can be a megarish, a woman, and does not need her consent. But to marry her needs her consent. So, you can't just simply assume that she will say yes afterwards, and quite frankly, after she got a gerushin, I would put it, my bet would go on the fact that she wouldn't say yes. But the point is that it's just simply not biyado. That's not within his control. So so your point is going to be excellent for the next bit of Gemara, and then we'll make the distinction between this case we're about to learn and the case we just learned. Tivsha debar Rav Oshia, the Gemara says, well, let's consider now that which Rav Oshia said. I know since she prutas leisha ba'achas. So let's say a man gives a woman two prutas. Okay, now he only needs one pruta in order to be mekadesher, but he gives her a second as well. Amar la iskashi li hayom. So look, once for now, once for later. Okay, so once for now, in other words, I want to be Mekadosh you now. And once for later, because now what may end up happening is that I may be Megarish you, but I'm giving you the Kesef Kedushin for our second marriage. Okay, that's a man who plants. I'm not saying they're good plants. I'm not gonna go that far. But he's planning. So tivsha mina de lo have a kedushin. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Didn't we just say that in order to marry you need her consent? And we cannot assume that she's going to provide her consent. So over here, Rav Oshia is asking this question, and why should it even be a question? Meaning, on the second Kedushin, we don't know if she's going to consent or not consent. So the Gemara says, and Rabbi Katz says, now the Gemara is making exactly her point. So over here, the reason why Rav Oshia feels that this is a better question is because right now when you're handing her the Kesef of Kedushin, she currently is saying yes. Now, we all understand she's saying yes to the first Kedushin. She's not necessarily saying yes to the second Kedushin. But at least you got her at a moment where she's saying yes. So it could be that her yes, and this is exactly what Rav Oshia feels is a good question. It could be that her yes is going on Kedushin number one and Kedushin number two. As opposed to, when Rashi spells this out, as opposed to when you're currently married to her, and now you're handing her the Kesef Kedushin for the next time they get married, well, that's a davar shelo bal olam. You don't know if she's going to say yes after the fact. And right now, you're currently married. She does not need to say a yes on her next marriage, and who knows if she will. So this case of Rav Oshia is not necessarily the same as the previous case, and where you could make the argument, and Rav Oshia is, I don't know if he's making the argument, but at least he's entertaining the possibility that her yes is going on both Kedushins. Anyway, Tanya Kavasi to Rav Yochanan. Okay, so but again, we go back to the klal of Rav Yochanan, and the klal is, as long as it's biyado, so then you do not have a deficiency in Davar Shelo Bala Olam, as long as it's within your control. So, ein tarmim min hatal shel mechubar. So here we go back to the topic of truma. And again, this brisa is going to concretize that which Rav Yochanan has taught us. As long as it's biyada. So you cannot take off truma from detached produce onto attached produce. The im tarim in truma so truma. Now if you try to do so, it's not going to work. Ketzan amar peres arugazu telushim yu tarmim aperes arugazu mechubaris. These detached fruit are going to be truma, applied truma towards my produce, which is connected to the ground. So peres arugazu mechubaris yu truma al peres arugazu telushim. Or just the opposite. My attached peres should be truma applied towards my detached peres. So lo amar klum. In all these cases, it's simply not going to work because again, when it's attached to the ground, so it's not chayiv yet in truma samaisos. Aval amar. However, this is a brisa still speaking. But if you say lechishe yit lishu vinit lishu, that look, I know it's not going to be effective now, but I'm planning now for the future, and I'm telling you that the truma should take effect not now, but when I detach it from the ground. So then dvarav kayamim. So then what he's saying is going to be effective, and that means now that all he needs to do is just simply pluck it from the ground, and lo and behold, truma will have taken effect. So again, this speaks to the idea of Rav Yochanan. Yes, okay, now Rav Loza ben Yaakov. Now Rav Loza ben Yaakov is going to go one step further. Now, how much further is he going? So Rashi's telling us, and the Gemara later on is going to say it. So let's. I'm pointing to Rashi. It's really the Gemara later on. Rav Loza ben Yaakov actually goes one step further, and that is a person can make a kinyan on a davar shelo bala olam. So now it's really a fundamental disagreement that we're about to engage in. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, I'm sorry, I'm Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Afilo Amar Peres Arugazu Telushin, Yu Truma Al Peres Arugazu Mechuberes, Peres Arugazu Mechuberes, Yu Truma Al Peres Arugazu Telushin, Liche Sheyaviu Shlish Veyit Lishu, and he says, and the produce right now that's growing in the ground, it's so underdeveloped, it's not even yet a third developed. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah teaches us that if you have a fruit that's not yet even a third developed on the tree, it's not even a fruit. It does not have the halachic status of a fruit. And so here, at this very early stage, you now make the statement that this should be truma for that. So then, v'yitlishu v'heviu shlish, I'm sorry, lichishi aviu shlish, v'yitlishu v'heviu shlish v'nitlishu, and then you wait till it grows, and then you wait till it plucks, dvarav kayamim, so then it's going to be effective. So because, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you can make it even on the davar shelo bala olam. Now, even according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov,
it's really davar shelo bala olam, because it's already kind of exists,
even
roots there.
Very good, very good. You read my next sentence. So even according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that you can make a king on the davar shelo bala olam, by trumas and maisos, you need something. It needs to be something there. Now, is that because of the halachas of davar shelo bala olam, or is that a halach and truma? Okay, you could debate that point, and that could be for a Ian Shear in of itself. But it needs to be something there. Now, exactly how much does there need to be there? So the Amorayim explore that question. Amar Rabba. Lo Amar Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Ela B'Shachas Avaba Agam Lo. When Rav Elazar ben Yaakov allows for this type of kinyan, and we're talking now about truma, when he allows for this kind of truma to be done, even though Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says it can even be before a third developed, it has to be something. Now, exactly what? So according to Rabba, it has to be Shachas. Shachas means that it has to be at least at this point in time, edible by your animal. Your animal can go ahead, you can pluck it off right now. It's not a third developed. You yourself are not going to eat it. Halachically, does not have the status of a pre, but you can harvest it, and you can give it to your animal to eat. So Rabbi says there has to be at least that. Rav Yosef, Amar Afilu Ba'agam, and Rav Yosef says, nah, it doesn't even have to be that. As long as it's budding out of the ground, that's enough. And it doesn't even have to be animal fodder.
Doesn't the kinyan have to take place at the time it fully grows?
No, if you make a kinyan, a davar shelo bala olam, you can activate the kinyan now. Now the kinyan, obviously, you need the item to be here for the kinyan to take effect, but you can put the reservation in now for the kinyan to take place later.
Is it guaranteed that's going to grow to sleep?
It's not. There are no guarantees.
No, because the assumption is that it will.
Yeah.
That's why it will.
Correct.
No?
Correct.
Let's leave
that out. So I feel about agam my mashman the high agam lishad de butzanehu, and then the Gemara has a linguistic point that the word agam is something that is at a very early stage of development. Amar avalaza amakra halachof kagmon rosho. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu that teaches us that the word agam means that it's bendable. It's really really an early stage. So anyway, kaman azla haditanya. So period. Okay, so where are we at right now? So we're in the middle of a sugya of Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. The general consensus of Tanaim is Eina Damakna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. You cannot make a kinyan on something that's not yet here. We are discussing now the basic rule of Rav Yochanan that as long as it's biyado, so then it's not considered a deficiency in Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam as long as it's currently biyado. Okay. Then we were introduced to the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who seems to go even further. And the way Rashi presents it, he holds that a person can make a kinyan on a davar shelo ba'al olam. And then in Truma, you still need, even though Rav Elazar ben Yaakov holds that ad matan davar shelo ba'al olam, you still need something in order for the kinyan to take effect. And how much do you need? So it's a machlokas amarim between Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Rabbi says he needs to be at least animal fodder, and according to Rav Yosef, not even that. Next, keman azla haditanya v'lenta brisa. Hamalach chaverim yalda ishtech nekeva mekudeshes li. Okay, so again, we're talking about people who are planning. Again, they're not great planners, but they're planning. And so a man goes over to another man, says, "Look, your wife is pregnant. That's great. I'd like to marry your offspring." Your unborn child. Okay. So lo amar klum. So at that point in time, it's nothing. In other words, halachically, it has no significance what he's saying. Now, if his wife is actually pregnant at that point in time, so then, dvarav kayamim, so then it's going to work. Now, she's pregnant. So, now first of all, it's a 50-50 shot that it's going to be a girl. Okay, so I mean, that already is a bit of an issue, but again, obviously, let's assume that the kiddushin will work and only work if it's a girl that comes out. Well, that's kind of an obvious point. But over here, what the Gemara is assuming right now is that this braisa is authored by Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. It's a davar shelo ba'al olam. Here, in the most literal sense, we're talking now about a fetus that has not yet entered into the world. Okay, so now, come on. Now the Gemara says, now even within this brisa, so we still have the following question that we need analyzed. Remember, by truma, you needed something. Even if it's not yet produce that is ripened and above a third developed, but you need something. Here, by gestation, what are we talking about? How much gestation do you need? So come on, Ika Rabba Kishuka Ubra. So according to Rabba, so just like by the produce, you needed the produce to get to the point of animal fodder, so here by gestation, you need recognition. Meaning she has to be post her first trimester. And Ika Rav Yosef, Alpha Pishlohuka Ubra. Now according to Rav Yosef, so even if we are not yet past the first trimester, she knows she's pregnant. So that at that point in time, even then it's going to work. Rashi over here makes a really interesting point, which is, so basically now we're having a discussion about making a kinyan on an unborn girl and just a question of how pregnant does she have to be. I mean, I understand, you're either pregnant or you're not, but what stage of development of pregnancy do you have to be? So Rashi over here says, you get the sense from this whole discussion that the halacha falls like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And Rashi says, and it does make sense because we generally say Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kav Venaki, that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't say much through our chas, but whatever he does say, it's been sifted through. So, and if you take a look at Tosus over here, Tosus takes issue with that position of Rashi. Tosus says that's not the case. We're not pasking like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So it is an important discussion between Rashi and Tosus over here, whether or not we do in fact halacha. The halacha falls like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov.
Isn't this case sort of opposite of the wife of Cohen who's pregnant goes into cemetery? Because in that case, we got to raise the child.
There are different issues over there.
Viable, but but it's total opposite of this.
Yes, but they're different. That's a different issue. Those are issues of Tumablua. Those are different issues that guide that principle.
In terms of the outcome, they're saying, the outcome is so uncertain that you can't really be worried about it because there's a chance and there's viability.
Right.
You don't take that into account.
Correct. It's just a question of whether or not there's an effective kinyan being done. Ika de Amri. Back to the Gemara. We're towards the bottom. Amar Rabba lo Amar of Elazar ben Yaakov ela b'shachas de Bekivsha. So here now, once again, we're going to return to the question of when Rav Elazar ben Yaakov allows for a kinyan to be done. So even if the produce is really underdeveloped, it's going to work. And now in this Ika de Amri, in the second version, the debate over here is going to be, well, how, even though it's underdeveloped, well, how it's a prognosis issue. How confident are we are that this vegetation and this fruit is going to grow? So, according to Rabba Lo Amar Rabba Lo Zabin Yaakov Ela B'Shachas Debe Kivsha, we're talking about it has to be the kind of field that grows in rainwater. Meaning, if nature takes its course, which it usually does, it's going to grow. Ava B'Shachas Debe Shakya Lo. But however, if it's the kind of field that only grows with irrigation, so you need a lot of human input and effort. So then even Rav Elazar ben Yaakov will tell you, you can't make a kinyan on that. And Rav Yosef Amar, Afilu B'Shachas Debe Shakya. And according to Rav Yosef, no. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov would say that even if this field requires human input and irrigation, I still would tell you that according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you can make a kinyan even at this very early stage. Now, Kaman Azla Haditanya, now we're going to quote the Bryson one more time. Ha'omel Chavero, Imialdi Yishtech, Nekeva Mekadeshes Li, Lo Amar Klum, Va'amar Rabbi Chanina, Lo Shanu Elo She'en Yishtomu Uber, Zaval Yishtomu Uber, Zvarv Kayamim. So again, we return back to the Bryson where the man wants to be Mekadesh, the unborn child. Now, Kaman, Kishuhuka Ubra, Vidivra Akol. Now we could say the following. Here, you let nature take its course, and God willing, the child will come out a viable child. Most of the time, that's what happens. And you don't have to irrigate the field over here. I say by way of metaphor and analogy. Meaning, as long as she eats, and as long as the baby's inside developing, so nature will take its course. So now, comes out that the case of being Mekadesh, the unborn child, is going to agree with everyone. Because everyone agrees that as long as nature is going to take its course, and as long as you just let things happen, the baby will be born, and then according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the kedushin should take effect. Amar Abaye. Abaye's what does Abaye do with his spare time? I don't know if Abaye had spare time. But what does Abaye enjoy doing? Stringing together Tanayim. Right? Just keep this in mind. He does this often throughout Shas. And that is, he takes the shitas of various Tanayim and he strings them together into one shita. So Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe and Rebbe Meir, Kulu Sfir Luhu, Adam Machna Dava Shalom Bal Olam. Even though the general consensus amongst the Tanayim is Ein Adam Machna Dava Shalom Bal Olam, that you cannot make a kinyan on something that's not yet here in the world, but three Tanayim who are of the opinion that you can. And Abaye puts them together, and here they are now in one place, as we are about to start today's daf. So, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had Amar. So first of all, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov stated already. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was of the opinion that even at the very early stage of development, even when the produce is still before a third developed, you can take off truma. Okay, because a person can make a kinyan on a davar shelo bal olam. And then we took his position and we extended it even to trying to be mekadesh a fetus. Okay, that's one. Rebbe, Ditanya. So now we're on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're up to Shita number two. Rebbe. Rebbe's of the opinion that a person can make a kinyan on a davar shelo bal olam. The Torah says, Lo sazgir eved al adonav. Do not return an eved back to his original master. Now, Rebbe Omer. Now, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a fugitive slave. And what do you mean, don't return him back to his owner? Meaning, just for a moment, if we could just think about the pasuk and think about the simplicity of the pasuk. Of course, you're going to return the slave to its owner. In other words, the slave is trying to run away and he's owned. So you're going to. What does the Torah say? What does the Torah mean to say, Lo sasgir eved al adonav? So Rabbi Omer, so we need a little more context just to understand the simple pshat in the pasuk. So Rabbi Omer, belokech eved al manas l'shachar al kasa medaber. So the Torah is speaking about a very specific case, and that is that a person is planning to purchase an eved with the intent of freeing him. Now, I know that this presents issues because, as we discussed a couple of times throughout the Gemara, you're not allowed to free an eved kanani. La'ola mehem tavodu. Okay. That, I know that's a problem. However, right now, let's just focus on the point the Gemara is trying to make in this context, which is that you can make such a stipulation even though you haven't yet purchase the Eved Kenani, meaning that you can say, I'm going to buy the Eved Kenani with the intent, with the plan of freeing him. And Heichidami, now the Gemara says, now practically, how does that work? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Agon, the Kasav Lei, he writes in the contract when he buys them, Lekishekachecha, when I buy you, so then you're going to acquire yourself from this very moment in time. Now again, how can you do that? Meaning you haven't yet purchased him. And how can you free him when you haven't yet purchased him? And the answer is because Rebbe subscribes to the viewpoint of Adam Makna Davar Shelo B'Olam. You can affect Kinyanim even though all the conditions haven't yet materialized as of yet. Next, number three, Rabbi Meir. The Tanya Omer Li Sharei Amukudeshes Lachash Eskayir Lachash Tiskayir Lachash Eshtachar Lachash Eshtachari Lachash Yamos Balech Lachash Tamos Achusech Lachash Yachlus Yemech and Amukudeshes. Okay, I'm not going to go through all these again. These are all the cases that we discussed in the Mishnah yesterday's daf. So basically, right now you're not in a position to marry, but you're forecasting to a time when you will be able to marry, and you're giving the Kesef Kedusha now. Rabbi Meir Omer Mikudeshes. So Rameir is of the opinion that it works. What? Where did that come from? In yesterday's Mishnah, we learned it doesn't work. So the obvious point, Rameir disagrees with our Mishnah. Rav Yochanan san la armeni mekudeshes. Rav Yehuda hanasi armeni mekudeshes. So here we have various opinions amongst the time whether it works or doesn't work. Now in yesterday's Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah says it doesn't work. Now you and I know that the Stam Mishnah generally falls like Rameir. Here is obviously going to be an exception to that rule. Our Stam Mishnah is not following Rav Meir because Rav Meir says it works. And Rabbi Yehuda says it works as well. And Rav Yochanan Sandler says it does not work. Now, at this point, what can we say very clearly? That both according to Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, a person can make a kinyan on a davar shelo b'olam. However, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi admits, even though fundamentally it works, but I'm telling you, it's Eino Mekudeshes. The halacha is that the Kedushin is not going to be valid. Umatam Amar Eino Mekudeshes Mishum Eiva. For the obvious reason, which, you know, we kind of laughed when we learned the Mishnah together, and that is the built-in animosity that it creates. You go over to your sister-in-law and say, here's the Kesef Kedushin, so that when your sister, my wife, dies, so then the Kedushin is going to work. So it probably will not portend well for the future of your marriage, whatever's remaining left of this marriage. It's not going to go well. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, so the Chachamim blocked it because of Eva, but in other words, fundamentally, I'm going to tell you it's going to work. So what did we just learn from this brisa? That both, according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, a person can make a kinyan on a davar shelo b'olam. The Gemara over here, v'nechshav nami Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, now, in Abaye's list, Abaye strung together three tonight. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi, and Rabbi Meir. Why doesn't he also put together a Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in that list as well? Now, we all know the answer, and I'm quite frankly not sure what the Gemara didn't know when asking the question, Heinu Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi are one and the same. And I'm just a little bit unclear. The Gemara didn't know that? The Gemara thought otherwise? Okay. V'nechshav nami Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, now let's consider also one other Tana who seems to be in this camp of a person can make a kinyan on something that has not yet materialized. And that is Rabbi Akiva. D'tanya, we learned together back in Nedarim. Konim shani ose laficha. Okay, so the woman goes over to her husband and says, you know what? Anything I do, all my services that I provide, my maisa yadayim, are going to be usher to you. That's what she says to her husband. Okay? And the husband doesn't need to react. Why? Because there's already a shibud. Her services are already encumbered towards her husband, because that's part of the Tanai Ksuva. When you get married, the husband's got obligations, responsibility to his wife, and vice versa, and reciprocity. And so therefore, her Maisi Yadayim are Meshuba to him. So she does not have the ability to make a neder on her Maisi Yadayim. So ain't Tzarech LaHafer. So there is no requirement to make a Hafara. Now Rabbi Akiva Omer Yafer, Shemata Difalav Yosem and Aroilo. Now Rabbi Akiva says you should do an Hafara. The husband should do an Hafara. Why? Because we learned back in Ksuvos that she has Maisi Yadayim that are encumbered and do go to her husband, but only a base amount. If she exceeds that base amount, she gets to keep that extra, the ha'adafa. So therefore, what the husband should therefore do is be mefer in the event that she creates a ha'adafa. Now, What just happened over here? We are having a discussion about her future Maisei Yadayim. They're not yet here. And a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva, whether or not there should be afara or shouldn't be afara. And Rabbi Akiva says there should be. Even though it's a neder on something that is going to happen in the future. So now, can we at least put Rabbi Akiva in the camp of she's making a kinyan, a neder, on something that's not yet in the world? So the Gemara says, Hayit Marla, Amar Avuna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, Ba'amar, Sikashu, Yadai, Lo'oseyem, V'yadayim, Isnu, Ba'olam. So the Gemara says, we said this back in Nedarim, we're saying it now again, and that is, her neder is not going on that which produces, excuse me, her neder is going on the actual hands themselves. It's the hands that she's making the neder on. And anything that these hands are going to create are going to be usher to you. So that is that's ba'olam, that is in this world, and therefore that's why Rabbi Kiva says it needs a hafar.
That's why it's fruit and vegetables, it just starts to grow.
It's no. The fruits and vegetables are not yet in the world. They are developing. In other words, it'd be more analogous to the land or to the tree that's producing the fruit. Yeah, they complement each other now. Meaning, agreed. And now they're complementary to one another, so it works out. But you're right. And now this Mishnah is fascinating. The Mishnah over here is talking about Kiddushin based on not money that I give, but on services that I provide. Now the basic issue is going to be, can a man be Mekadesh a woman with the value of service? And over here the Mishnah describes some services. We're going to be entertained in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give wonderful examples of various services that I've provided. Here the Mishnah describes the following examples. Case number one of the Mishnah. Look, you need somebody to speak on your behalf to the king. Right? Tax advisor, tax representative. I'll tell you what. I'll speak on your behalf. Now this is something that you would pay for. It's a service that's provided that you would pay for. So ve'esei mach kepoel, or let's say you need a laborer around, fine, I'll work for you, and the value of the service that I'm providing will represent the kesef kedushin. Dibra la l'shaltam ve'esei mach kepoel mekudeshes v'im lavin mekudeshes. So the Mishnah says that as long as he does what he said he was going to do, the kedushin is going to be a valid kedushin. The seemingly simple pshat of the Mishnah is that the kesef kedushin is the value of the service. That's the simple pshat in the Mishnah. Reish Lakish is going to blow that up. I'm Reish Lakish. V'hu shenasan lo shava pruta. So Reish Lakish says, yeah, you know when this kedushin is going to work? It's going to work when he hands her an actual coin that is valued a shava pruta. So now, basically, what Reish Lakish is teaching us is, I know you just read the Mishnah, and I know you think you understand the Mishnah, and you don't. You didn't understand the Mishnah properly. The Mishnah over here, when he talks about speaking on your behalf and working for you for a day, the Kedushin wasn't done through the value of the service. The Kedushin was done with the Pruta. Well, if that's true, then what's going on over here? These are Tanayim.
The previous case.
That's it. These are just simply conditions. Meaning, in addition to me giving you a Shava Pruta, also, I will be Mikadosh, but I'll Tanay, but only on the condition that I'll speak to the government for you, or I'll work for you for a day. So these are just simply conditions set forth. So, and essentially what Reish Lakish is also saying is that you can't be Mekadesh with services provided. And it's only going to beg the question, well, why not? Service has value. Okay, so you're on the right path. Uvitzchar lo, so the Gemara says now, you can't be Mekadesh with wages. V'atanya. Now here the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, and this Braisa is clearly talking about being Mekadesh based on the value of service provided. B'schar shekivtich al chamor, shel shivtich b'karon. I'm going to be Mekadesh you and with the service of giving you a ride on the donkey, or putting you in a wagon, or b'sfina, or giving you a boat ride. Eino mekudeshes. So the Braisa says the kedushin is not valid. Why? Because he's saying based on that which I already did for you. Meaning when I translated the Braisa, I didn't do a grammatically good job. In other words, the Braisa over here was talking about in the past tense. I did it already. So now these are past obligations, account receivables and account receivables are a milva. Meaning, now this is money owed. You can't be mekadesh on money owed. Now, all we're going to do now is do the same thing, but we're just simply going to move the event to the future. But what if now I'm going to be mekadesh you on the boat ride that I will give you, or on the car ride that I'm going to give you, or on the donkey ride that I'm going to give you? In all those cases, the kedushin is valid. Now, this brisa seemingly is clearly talking about the kedushin is predicated on the service and on the value of the service. Now, maybe you'll tell me, like we did with the brisa, nah, these are just conditions, and he really gave her a coin on top of that. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's really difficult because the habischar kamar. The brisa is clearly using the word schar. Sounds like we're talking about actual wages. The Otanya, and the Gemara says, and I'll quote you another brisa. Shevet mi b'tzafsa, v'akadish lach. She says to him, look, I need company, and I'm ready to pay for that. In other words, it's a service. Providing company is a service. So I'll tell you what. I'll be mekadesh with you as long as you provide for me the service of company. Schok lafanai. Or you know what? Amuse me. Okay, I need some amusement. I need some cheering up. Amuse me. Or rekod lafanai. Or dance in front of me. So asay kedima sazeh. Or I need a little bit of work done in the house. So shaman im yesh bo shavaprutim mekudesh v'im lavin mekudeshes. So now we have to put a value on the service was provided, an appraised value on that. And as long as the appraised value is, if you're a good enough dancer, and the appraised value is more than a shavaprutah's worth of value that was provided, so the kedushin is going to be a valid kedushin. Now here we're appraising the service. Clearly, the kedushin is done through the value of the service. Maybe you want to be a little bit stubborn and say that we're talking about where the coin was given on top of that. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's a shuma. We're doing an appraisal. If we're doing an appraisal, it means that the kedushin is done through the service. And the Gemara says, and at this point in time, we realize that these brises that we just quoted are run contrary to Reish Lakish. And according to these brises, a person can be mekadesh with services. So Amalecha Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, look, although you checkmated me from the brises, I will tell you that I'm right about the Mishnah. I'm still right about the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where he handed her a coin. Now, Reish Lakish, I'm sorry, Amalecha Reish Lakish, Haitana Bara, Savar Einel Eschiris Ela Besof, Vitani Didan, Savar Yeshlan Eschiris Mitchil Aviatsof. And Reish Lakish says that really what's at the core issue over here between our Mishnah and these brises that you just quoted to me is how do we view wages? How are wages accrued? We saw this machlokus a while back in the Masechta, and we're saying it again now. And this is a fundamental debate that takes place throughout Shas. And that is, either you say skiros yeshlan skiros mitchil v'yatsof, and that means the following. That when I provide service, so the way that my payment now is going to be accrued is step by step, little by little. With every additional act of service that I provide, so ring it up. So now it gets counted towards my wages, and then at the end, you're going to owe me. But remember now, if you maintain Yeshua Skirz Mitzchel V'Yatzof, you owe me now, at this point in time, it's a chov for services provided. And so therefore, at the end of the service, so at the end of the services, you now owe me for that which I've done in the past. And at that point in time, it's now a chov, it's an obligation. And we know, because we've said it time and again, you cannot be mekadesh somebody on a halva, on a loan, on a past due obligation, because you have to be mekadesh her with concrete money right here, right now. Masha ein kein, if you hold that ein l'schiras ela b'sof, that means I'll provide the service, and the obligation only kicks in at the end. Well, if the obligation only kicks in at the end for kedushin, that's great. Because now I'm being mekadesh you with that bill, which although accrues, but the accruement of that of those services are halachically only going to effectively kick in at the end. So then it's going to work. So the Gemara says, and that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah holds yesh l'schiras mitchil v'yatzof, and therefore it's considered like a loan at the end. Masha ain't can these brises maintain Yeshna Leschiras Ella Libisov. So the Gemara spells this out. I'm just reading that line again. Now the Gemara says, now truth of the matter is that something must have compelled Reish Lakish to say that in our Mishnah. What exactly compelled him? So Amar Rava Masisin Kashise. So he says the Mishnah was very difficult to Reish Lakish. Why? My area didni almenas. Because if you look at the Mishnah and read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah says almenas. Nisni bischar. And the Mischnah could have used the language of bischar. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if the Mishnah really wanted to teach us that a person can be a Makarish woman based on the value of services, the Mishnah should have said the word schar, and the Mishnah didn't. And there's a reason why that must have been. It's because Elishma Minah call Amanas Hechidi Yahiv Lahu. Because the Amanas means that he gives her money, and then these services are just simply Tanayim. They're just conditions. Okay. Next. We're up to the Mishnah on the bottom of the Aman Amanashi Yirtza Abba. Ratzav Mikudeshas Vim Lavin Mikudeshas. I'm gonna marry you, but only on the following condition. I'd like it that we get approval from your father. Okay, I know your father is a bit picky and quite frankly I don't.
Her father.
How about this one? Amanashi Yirtze Abba. So I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. Yes. Avishal Chassan. Thank you. Okay. His father. And I don't want to be involved in a marriage where it's already an uphill battle, right? We're not going to have the approval of our parents. So I'm going to marry you, but only on the condition that I get consent from the father. So So the Mishnah says, okay. So if you get approval from the father, the kedushin is valid. And if you don't, then the kedushin is not going to be valid. Mace Ha'av Harezem Mekudeshes. Now, if dad dies, so the Kedushin is going to be a valid Kedushin. Now, Meitz HaBen, now if the son dies, Malam Dema'av Lomar Sheina Rotza. So now, at this point in time, she is either going to be a widow or never married. Those are two interesting options. But consider that he only married her on condition, and the condition was only with dad's approval, and now the husband died, so now if dad gives a disapproval, so then that means the marriage was never a marriage. And that could be to her advantage, because if she may be in a very sticky yibum situation, so if dad can just simply say, hey, I don't want this, even though it's a little bit after the fact and his son is dead already, but it will undo the marriage, and that may be to her advantage. And the Mishnah, let's go one step further. The Mishnah says that's better. Meaning, basically, we should advise the father to say, I didn't want it, and to undo the marriage. Now, I'll just think out loud. What if the father really did like it? In other words, can he say that he disapproved if he didn't really disapprove? I'm not sure about. But anyway,
it means even the father
wouldn't. I agree.
You say that.
I agree with you. But it, in other words, if it's disingenuous, then okay. Let's move on. My amanas shiirtza abba. Okay, and this is a point of communication where we're always confused by. Meaning, the marriage is over here predicated on dad's approval. Now, when exactly are you going to get dad's approval? Meaning, what constitutes dad's approval? Meaning, he's sitting there at the table, you bring her in, he looks at her, she leaves, he says nothing, which is generally what happens. And did you get dad's approval? Did you not get dad's approval? Meaning, what exactly is the threshold of dad saying, oh, that was good? It's a simple question. And it becomes the source of, in my life experience, the source of many miscommunications. Where you didn't say anything, and does that mean you liked it or you didn't like it? So my amanashi yirtza abba. Ilem adam abba in. So the Gemara says, now maybe it means that dad says yes. That you need a positive statement from dad saying, yes, I like her. Yes, I approve. Emma mitziyasa. The Gemara says, well, that can't be, because go on to the next case of the Mishnah. Meisahav, harizem kudeshes. Where dad died and the kedushin is very good. Vahalo amar in. Now, dad died and dad didn't say anything. So over there in the next case of the Mishnah, what must have been approval? What is the threshold of approval? Okay. Right, correct. I didn't say no. So Ella Amina Shiishtogaba. So the Gemara says, so clearly in that case over there, the threshold is, well, as long as dad is quiet. Meaning dad doesn't say much anyway. and if he didn't like it, he would have said so. So the threshold over there is as long as he's quiet. So aim a seifa. The Gemara says, okay, but let's go one step further in the Mishnah. Mesa ben malam de mesav lomar she'eni rotze. Now, if the son died, so then we basically advise the father to say eni rotze. Amai v'hashasik. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I'm confused because you just told me the threshold of approval is going to be silence. Over here, right, if the son died and the father was silent, well, didn't we say that silence is the consent? Silence is the threshold of approval. Ella amar la amanash lo yimcha abba. So the Gemara says, well, over there the threshold must be amanash lo yimcha abba, as long as dad doesn't protest. Okay, now reisha bechataima. So the Gemara says, now basically what we have is, we have a moving target. In other words, in the beginning of the Mishnah, we talked about the threshold of approval is silence. And then we're talking about the threshold of approval being, I don't protest against her. She's not horrible.
Consent, basically.
Huh? Generally speaking, yeah, I understand that. But over here, the Tanai is, I need the approval of dad. So again, now that we're looking for the approval, so how is that going to reflect? So now, basically, it's a moving target in the Mishnah. I'm Rav Yanai in. So Rav Yanai says, just simply correct. Rav Yanai says that's the way to learn the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is providing for us a moving target in terms of what consent is. The various cases of the Mishnah are reflecting different scenarios in which what is the threshold of approval. Amar Reish Lakish Mamin Ola Rav Yanai Dachkinu Makmina Masnisim Be Trei Tamei VeAliba DeChatana. So Reish Lakish says, you know, I learned something very important from Rav Yanai. Look, what we're doing in the Mishnah over here is we're playing with the volume in the Mishnah. Meaning, sometimes approval means yes, sometimes approval means silence, sometimes approval means I don't protest. And it's not a pleasant thing to do to a Mishnah to adjust. Literally over here, we're adjusting the volume. Right, in terms of what approval is going to be, right? It's either going to be silence, it's going to be a positive yes, it's going to be, I don't mind her. But we're doing that in the Mishnah, and what we're avoiding is v'lo mokmina betray tanai. And we're not creating a machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah. Meaning one could have just simply said, well, the Mishnah is reflecting different viewpoints. And we're not doing that. And it's preferable to give different ukimtas in the Mishnah rather than to give different shitas in the Mishnah. So, v'lo mokmina betray tanai v'chad taima. Rav Yosef barami amar la'olam chad taima hu. So that is Rav Yanai and Reish Lakish's viewpoint of Rav Yanai. That really the Mishnah is all representing one Tana, and in terms of what the threshold of approval is, it changes based on the cases of the Mishnah. Rav Yosef barami amar la'olam chad taima hu. So Rav Yosef Barami says no. Really, what we could do in the Mishnah is we can give one explanation of the Mishnah. And what the Mishnah is doing is the following. You know, approval is going to mean the following. Dad doesn't dissent. Dad is not verbalizing disapproval. Now, verbalizing disapproval, if that were just the pshat in the Mishnah, it can't be. Because what does that mean? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, dad says, nah, I don't like him. I don't like her. And that's going to... And meaning that that's just simply not a sustainable marriage. That can't be a condition thrown into the marriage if at any point in the marriage, if dad just simply dismisses her, so that's going to undo the marriage. It can't be. So, Rav Yosef says, you're right, that can't be. So basically, disapproval of the father, or... I'll say it like this. Approval of the father is going to be if dad doesn't disapprove within 30 days. Okay, that's a sustainable tonight. That's something which is a condition that can fulfill. So basically, she has to be on the best of behavior, you know, for the first 30 days of the marriage. And as long as he doesn't dissent then, so then after that, the marriage will be a satisfactory marriage. Once we say that, so then all the cases in the Mishnah could be as long as dad doesn't disapprove, and it's as long as within the 30 days, and then you have a way of explaining every one of the cases in the Mishnah. Okay, ad kan. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the next Mishnah. Okay.